This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
Because I just went gay all of a sudden.
Weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty.
Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes.
General, would you care to step outside?
Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
Oh, I'll tell you, you guys, it's a good thing we're doing, well, it's not a good thing, it might be a bad thing we're doing this Thursday night, because normally we do this like Wednesday mornings, but this is the first our schedule would allow it, so I've been pre-gay.
I had a day, so.
You did.
My buddy Jameson, or I had a night that led into a day, so my buddy Jameson is on board this evening.
Well, I just put the kids to bed, so I haven't gotten a chance to do anything except for be sleepy.
Why don't you go summon the butler and have him pour you an evening cocktail and bring your slippers and pipe?
Oh, that'd be fantastic! Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Wait, I got an email for you, Mark.
For me?
Yeah. So a message.
It's what's her name?
It's not. It's not much to read. It was just kind of a quick DM, you know, slide into them DMs. It was just a quick DM from a young gentleman who hit us up and was like, "Hey, I love the locker room." And he says, basically, I'm on Marco's side. Elote is fine.
My man, represent the
streets. I'm looking for the message right now, here's Eric. Eric says, love the new locker room podcast. Keep up the good work. I enjoyed hearing each of your own experiences with your parents' disciplinary methods growing up. I agree there should be some spanking and shaming in the punishment toolbox, but that is judiciously used so that kids don't turn into horrible people. I second that.
Yeah, again, it's like the death sentence. It's like the death penalty. Right. It's the last resort.
You have to prove malice aforethought for that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's not a go-to.
Or they sass back so hard so quickly that it's the only, or it's an emergency situation like with the stove. But anyway, one question I have for you guys is, what sort of discipline method do you have when your kids are doing something at your home that they're not supposed to be doing? So I'm assuming this means like they're other people's kids, your friend's kids are doing something at your home and they're not supposed to be doing it. So, for me, that's easy. I just go, I'm sorry. We don't do that in this house. If you persist, I'm just going to have to drive you home. I've literally interrupted a sleepover when I heard a kid say something out of hand and I went, I'm sorry. We don't talk like that here. And if you keep doing it, I'm going to pack you up and put you in the car right now and drive you home at 10:30 at night. So that was my solution.
I give them the quick warning. It hasn't happened to me yet because my kids are still young. I'd give them the quick warning. I'd go ahead and whip out the cell phone and say, you know, if I was to call your parents right now, tell them exactly what you just said and did and hand them the phone, what do you think would happen?
Right.
What do you think they would say? And if they go, nothing, my dad doesn't give a fuck, I'm like, oh, okay, check this out. And then go ahead and give him a call. And if the dad doesn't give a fuck, I'll be like, okay, cool. Be prepared for me to drop him off at home. Cause obviously it's not the kind of shit I want in my house.
Also, your kid's not hanging out with my kid.
Yeah. Pretty much the sleepover, the hangout, that's all done. Yeah. It's all said and done. I mean, it's not your kid. You know, you can't raise hands to your kid. You can lock him in the closet. What? But
well, it depends on the size of the closet and why they're in there. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, yeah, talking about a closet. Did you guys hear about the dirty motherfucker in, like, I think it's Alabama, that was caught hiding in a 15-year-old girl's closet for a month?
No.
A month?
Yo.
A month.
Yo, you can't.
What 15-year-old girl doesn't go in her closet for a month? How I don't big know. Is this closet?
Well, that's a good point right there alone. At this, I raised some suspicions on this story because there is no 15-year-old girl that won't go in her closet for a month.
Come on.
I don't know, man. I remember the young ladies when we grew up, and most of their shit was fucking everywhere, including in a off the hamper and on the ground and so on and so forth. And yeah, there was the empty space of a floor where they would sit in front of the mirror to do their makeup before. But other than that, if I remember correctly, every female house that we stepped in, I said female. What? What? Any young female house that we stepped into when we were younger was pretty much a fucking landmine field, you know, to get across. Like, oh, come to bed with me. I'm like, okay, hold on. Okay, I don't know if this is important. Don't step on this. And then I have to make a choice. Is that pile of clothes just a pile of clothes? Or will there be like a perfume bottle underneath that motherfucker somewhere? You know what I'm saying? Like, or a phone, or a corded phone. Back in the day, it was a corded phone. So then you had tripwire. You had landmines and tripwire because you had a corded phone that reached across the fucking room.
So yeah, as we get to the end of this bunny trail, I see a signpost up its head that says, we haven't welcomed everyone to the locker room. So
we just like to talk. We're just hanging out and talking.
I want to welcome everybody to the locker room. I'm Tom.
I'm Matthew.
I am Marco.
And we are the three amigos, one for each other. Oh, we need to. Maybe we should just switch our theme music to the three amigos theme for this week.
I'm not going to say no to that. I'm not going to say no to that.
Nope. I'm going to vehemently say yes.
Okay. Well, maybe it won't get blocked. Who knows? We always get our other ones blocked because we use the Metallica song. We actually had somebody hit us up on social medias and be like, hey, what's that song you guys have at the beginning of your show? And I will, son.
Oh, poor little guy.
Son, let me tell you, that is Metallica, the Black Album.
Let me learn you something.
Let me tell you something, son. So
that's cute.
Here we are in the locker room, boys and grills. Does anybody know what kind of an episode we have? Oh, first of all, hey, you guys like my hat?
That's a swanky hat right there.
You finally got them in. I do like that. That's
yes,
nice.
For the people that are watching this on the YouTubes or who have been on the Instagram, you have seen the hats.
Yeah, I think I need one of those to complete my jogging outfit for my beach runs.
It's like a deck of Uno cards right now. I've got multicam. I'm lousy with hats, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute. You got a multicam in there?
I do.
Where? I didn't see it.
Wait, let's see. Oh.
Looks like you're just holding up a challenge coin.
Yeah.
That's the power of multicam.
I don't see anything.
Is it the legit multicam?
Son, that is a multicam trademarked tag right there, son. Ooh. Multicam. This is no knockoff. This isn't even Army issued Scorpion. This is Cry Precision Shit the Bed multicam. You know what I'm talking about?
I can't even see anything right now because it's multicam.
That's so tactical.
Yeah. This is the Army screwed me over, so I'm going to screw them over and trademark my camouflage. And then the Army screws me back over by knocking off my camouflage for their own needs. Multicam.
Support the real multicam.
Although if you ever do get to a SHOT Show, I hear the cry parties are off the hook.
I've seen videos and pictures.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I've been to SHOT Show. I have never been to a cry party. I always got sick. I always got the SHOT Show crap, you know. Anyway, so does anybody know what we are? Does anybody know what we are discussing here in the locker room? I believe
shut your whore mouth. I'm praying. please, sweet innocent 8-pound, 6-ounce innocent baby Jesus.
Oh God, I watched that right now. 3:00 this morning.
Please, please let us get one day invited to one of these.
The cry.
Yes.
Any good SHOT Show party, we'll liven it up. I think we could get the band back together for that. Hell. So I believe, Marco, you were having some thoughts, and it's a dangerous pastime, thoughts. I don't approve. In all, I try to avoid them.
Yes.
But what are we going to discuss this week?
What's on the, which one, sorry, one more time, from the beginning.
You know, Thomas and I are the ones drinking, not you.
Right.
Yeah. But you're 2 hours ahead of us.
2 hours ahead of you guys.
Yes, and you worked
yeah, early. Yeah, 2 hours ahead of you guys, so I'm just a little done. So we talked about the spanking and not the one that comes with a safety word last week.
Right. So my safe word is blueberry pancakes.
mine is Alabama. And then the week before that, we had do we have the things you didn't know you knew?
No, we haven't done that. But I had an idea. It was based on something that we've touched on a couple of different times on War Stories Official, but also a little bit here previously in the old podcast and now.
Is it docking?
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I don't think anybody out there, if you don't know what docking is, just don't Google it from a work computer.
Yeah, do not.
Not from a work computer.
Just do a visual search. Don't do a visual search.
Don't do it. Yeah. Like a word search. Anyway, somebody brought up recently on the socials that there has been this whole thing where and this was a couple of years ago when it was just the Blue Lives Matter, no Black Lives Matter, no Blue Lives Matter, no Black Lives Matter, and then you get the whole well, police officers put on their badge and their gun every day and go to work not knowing if they're going to come home. And the yeah, that's a bottle of Jameson, ladies and gentlemen. It has been Cheers. That kind of a day. But they go to work not knowing if they're going to come home at night. And and the Black Lives Matter side said, well, that's what they signed up for. That's the job they got into. What do they expect? And so that was the big rallying cry for a long time in saying you can't say that blue lives matter or that cops' lives are important because they signed up for it. You know, veterans signed up for it, all that kind of stuff. Well,
hey, I have a question about that real quick. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No, go.
I'm so sorry. It's actually related. So obviously with your background and your the guys that you know and so on and so forth, so like it kind of irks me when people say blue lives matter. I always refer as supporting the thin blue line, you know, saying the thin blue line movement. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I've actually corrected people at work when people go like, well, that's, you know, you gave me, and I have in one of my backpacks, the thin blue line flag.
Oh yeah. Right? The white supremacist flag now.
Yeah. Whatever with that. Yeah. My brown ass. And then I speak to them in Spanish and I'm like, what?
Well, that's why the debates when somebody said the Proud Boys were a racist white supremacist organization and the leader is half black, half Cuban. Oops.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That is
somebody ought to fact check the moderator. Anyway, saying.
Is it accepted? Is it from your neck of the woods? Is it accepted as Blue Lives Matter now? Is it still like the known as like the thin blue line? You know?
So the thin blue line was an old expression that came from the idea that, and a lot of people may not know this, but police uniforms are navy blue. They're actually midnight navy blue, even though a lot of TV shows have them actually wear black. And the thin blue line came from, we discussed this on a previous episode where we discussed iconography of like the Spartan and the police officers, both literally and figuratively, say in a riot when they line up to separate, you know, civilians or the innocents, they will create a thin blue line between order and chaos. So that's where the expression came from. Blue Lives Matter was just a response to the phrase Black Lives Matter,
right,
in justifying violence against police officers. But the retort to that became, well, that's just their job. They weren't born police officers. They picked that profession, so they knew what they were getting into when they got into the uniform. But then somebody brought something up to me today, and this is where we're going to get into, I think, what we should discuss today, which is somebody brought up to me, can we not apply that same logic to any dumb fuck who gets shot by the cops when they're involved in criminal activity? Can we not apply the same standard of, well, you kind of should have been prepared for cops to shoot you when you decided to break into that girl's house and sexually assault her and then run from the police? You should have known that those were the risks when you got into the profession. When you decided to be an armed robber, you should have known that might come with a couple of bullets in your ass. And I thought that was a really valid, interesting point, because there's so many black people, brown people, white people. There's so many people. The majority, I'm going to go out on a limb. Ready? Mark it down. The majority of people in this country don't get fucked up by the cops. And the reason is the majority of the people either A, don't do stupid shit and draw their attention, or B, when they do draw their attention, like Matt knew when he ran that they were going to come after him.
Oh yeah.
And so
I deserved every minute of that ass whooping.
Right. So is there not a point at which we tell people, hey, you bought the ticket, so maybe you better take the ride? And that led me to the topic, which is what I was going to ask you guys about, which is, am I a victim blamer?
Am I a victim blamer?
So I thought we'd talk a little bit about the concept of what people call victim blaming. And is that even, like, where is the line between holding people responsible for their own stupidity and blaming a victim for the shit that happens to them?
Okay. So let's shoot out a quick definition of victim blaming.
Well, that's what I want us to kind of land on, is a real definition.
Okay.
But if you
were to look up victim blaming right now, or what do you think the social justice warriors would define as victim blaming?
So I'll give you an example of, and Marco, if you wouldn't mind using your little portable device to look up the term victim blaming.
I'm on it already. I got it right here on deck.
So if, and we've talked about this before, if a young lady, because rape is a big deal for victim blaming, right? I think that's where I first even heard the term.
Right, right.
Yeah.
When
she shouldn't have been wearing that.
She shouldn't have been wearing that.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have been there. She shouldn't have been dressed like that. Okay. So that's the easiest example I can think of, right?
Okay.
If you say to a girl, when she comes to report a rape, and you say, "What were you wearing?" Well, why are you asking?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. And it does in an evidentiary, fact-based eyewitness testimony kind of a way. But
right.
But
presentation is everything. And
determining somebody's guilt or innocence, that really doesn't matter. But what about when we're not talking about determining someone's guilt or innocence, right? What if we're not talking about the police determining criminal activity? What if we're talking about a girl who I am very close to, who always tells me, right? And this is, she is one of the people who, because she has been a victim of sexual assault, she's been a victim of rape. She tells me, she says, tell your daughter, if it's not for sale, don't put it in the window. Because when I was 15 years old, I went to a party with a bunch of freshmen in college. They were all drunk. I got drunk. I pranced around the party, and then I passed out on a bed at 15 years old and woke up with some guy on top of me having sex with me. And I didn't report it. I didn't go to the police. I tried to push him off, but I was too drunk. I woke up the next day, remembered what had happened, and just said, well, I'll never do that again. And I asked her why, and she said, well, you know, I put myself in that position. I put myself in that position. I got drunk. I shouldn't have been where I was. I could have prevented what happened to me. To which then I replied, but that doesn't excuse him from what he did.
Correct.
Right.
And she goes, but that doesn't matter. I didn't want to go through, to her, she said, I didn't want to go through the courts. I didn't want to go through the process. I was okay. I didn't get a disease. I didn't get pregnant. So to me, I would rather take the mulligan and take the lesson learned than to go through the process of re-traumatizing myself and just say, these are the things that I did to myself that put me in this vulnerable position. And he didn't, you know, he did him, you know, he's going to pay for that down the road. That's on him. Right. So she took this very like spiritual, I learned my lesson. He's going to get his, I don't want to go through the bullshit trauma of a police investigation and a hospital visit and testifying in court and blah, 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 blah. So I just moved on with it.
See, and now, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Hearing that story, it upsets me. Obviously, I think it upsets all of us because we're, you know, proper, you know, well-raised gentlemen. But it also kind of speaks to when a woman feels that way, where's the flaw in the system that women feel that way, that they don't want to go through that process? I understand that not wanting to re-traumatize yourself, but it kind of sparks in my mind, there's something within the system, and not necessarily the system, but the way situations like that have been handled in the past that leave such a bad taste in somebody's mouth, to where it's easier to just accept the fact that you were fucking raped than it is to go forward with bringing someone to justice, because the man, the asshole little boy who did that is 100% at fault. It was not her fault.
Well, hold on.
There's never an excuse.
Yeah, but here's the funny part. That's when I put on my investigator hat, and we talked about this, and I said, so, you know, what did you know? And I went through the steps. What did he do? What did you do? What did you say? Because we were close, and she was willing to talk to me about it, and I thought having this kind of a discussion was going to help me as an investigator when I had to deal with these calls in the future, just to understand her perspective on it. And she said, first of all, I was drunk. Second of all, I don't remember how he got on top of me. Third of all, I don't know if he was drunk or not. You know, and so she started laying down these facts, and I realized she was being her own prosecuting attorney against herself. And she was saying, was I so drunk that I got myself into this mess in a minute of a blackout, and he was drunk too, and neither one of us knew what we were doing. And then when I started to come to in the middle of it, I thought, oh, maybe this isn't a good idea. And so then I, you know, was like, we should stop, but I was drunk. I don't know what happened. You know, so she was willing to say, I can't honestly tell you if that guy was a criminal piece of shit predator, or if we were two drunk assholes making a bad decision. And
that's fair.
Why would I go to the cops if I don't know?
That's fair, because when I was down in Mississippi for a little bit, I experienced my first legit blackout courtesy of the Cat's Meow on Bourbon Street, and woke up.
If the Cat's Meow on Bourbon Street wants to sponsor our podcast, I'm completely open to that option.
Jägermeister and Buds and a $500 bet on who could drink more and pass out last.
Right.
I woke up the next morning in Shreveport, Louisiana. Anybody who's familiar with that is a good, I think, almost,
I was going to say,
45 minutes, hour north.
Yeah.
In a bed that was very comfortable. And I knew that I wasn't on a ship at that point. And woke up next to a woman that I met for the first time that morning and had no recollection of, and apparently, you know, met her three bars after the Cat's Meow, and actually drove her, two of my shipmates and two of her friends, back to her place. And I to this day I only know that story because it was told to me.
Right. You have no recollection of that sentence.
No recollection of it. None.
And I'll tell you what, I at a friend's bachelor party, I was playing on the stage at the bachelor party, playing the guitar, and the drinks were free and they were flowing. And I gave a girl cab fare at, you know, 3:30 in the morning after the show. And she left my apartment and I went to sleep. And the next morning about, 9:30 when we all went for, greasy eggs and some iced tea. I was looking at the guys and I was like, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty good. Right. That was pretty good. And they're like, no, dude, no, that was no. And they all kind of looked at me like, I can't believe you did that. And I remember what I thought she looked like, but apparently what I thought she looked like isn't what they knew she looked like.
Beer goggles are magical.
And so, so I can attest to, having had so much alcohol that what do they call it? Jack Daniel's judgment for it's literally, it kills the first two parts of your brain. Your brain is separated.
Your frontal lobe is no longer functioning at that point.
Right. Your frontal lobe takes a nap about two beers in.
Yes. rest of the team's got this for the rest of the night.
I had it brilliantly explained to me when I was at DUI school by the man who treated Betty Ford, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he treated Betty Ford. He was a Navy doctor, and he was in Nam. And he said in his seminar, he said, I saw this very strange phenomenon. I said, what was that? He says, I saw these 18-year-old kids who were all into fitness and staying in shape. And, they were good boys. They'd get off the ship. And 8 hours later, they'd be a violent, rubbery, incoherent, drunken puddle of goo that they were throwing into the brig to sleep it off for the rest of their weekend pass.
And
And he said, I wanted to know what the mechanism that would flip that switch. It was like he said, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And then he proceeded to explain the four stages and how the last stage of your brain that alcohol affects is the one that controls your breathing and your heart rate. And when you get to that point, you're fucking dead. So it doesn't really matter. And that, but he said, there's this place where you can get to where you're walking and talking, but your inhibitions and your ability to make memories are completely gone.
Wow. Yeah. Been there, done that.
Okay. So does that change? Do those details of that story, Mr. Prosecutor, change your mind?
Yeah, actually it does, because I've been there. So it's 50-50 on whether she was raped or not. She could have been, in her own admission, drunk enough to make a suggestion or, hey, let's go fool around. And not remember it. I mean, that absolutely. And I think, now having this discussion, she made the right choice by, realizing that and not potentially ruining, somebody's life. But then again, she doesn't remember it. So who the hell knows? She very well could have been, properly raped.
But she was willing to take the chance of, hey, I don't want to. And here's another thing is you talked about the system is broken, that it traumatizes people by putting them through this. I'll tell you, yes, if lawyers are a huge problem, right?
Right.
The things that lawyers are allowed to do in court. I'll give you a perfect example. And I love this example because it takes guys like you who have, I mean, Matt, you've been in a courtroom, but not for the same reasons I have. And you, right.
I was on the other side.
Right. So there's a rule that says if a prosecutor comes across evidence that tends to show his, that the person being prosecuted, the suspect, the defendant is innocent, he is required by law to provide that evidence to the defense. Right. It's called exculpatory evidence.
Right.
Anybody who's ever watched Law and Order, my mother said, oh, isn't that exculpatory? I said, no, that's not exculpatory. And I explained what it was. And so there is no legal requirement for the defense to turn over evidence they discover that tends to show that their client fucking did it. Right.
Right. Right.
Much the same way the DA or the prosecuting attorney cannot say things in court or put forth theories in court that he knows to be demonstrably false. Whereas the defense attorney can put all kinds of crazy hairball theories about, like, if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. And maybe there was a gunman on the grassy knoll. Defense attorneys, knowing their client is guilty, can say that stuff in court.
Yeah. Defense attorneys, by definition, live in the world of what if.
Right. They're scumbags.
Yeah.
And I get that they're a necessary evil right now because everybody gets the right to an attorney and because everybody's innocent until proven guilty. But the problem I have with it is the loopholes that allow defendants to lie, cheat, steal, and do anything they can in court in the interests of quote unquote getting off. That to me is a huge part of how victims get re-traumatized when they take the stand. If a victim of rape is going to testify, it's not the prosecutor that's going to be an asshole to her or him.
Right, right.
It's the defense attorney that's going to be like, how many guys have you slept with in the last month? What were you wearing that night? Did you put on perfume? Did you send this text message to my client? Blah, blah, blah. It's the defense attorneys that are going to do that. So there's a level of traumatization that is inherent in having attorneys and litigating this kind of stuff. But there's also a level of trauma in just the mere fact of having to sit and face the person who did it to you and regurgitate all of that, you know, testimony. Some people it's therapeutic, but you know what? Everybody's different. There's a lot of people that say, I could move on with my life a whole lot better if you would just leave me alone.
Right. Right.
And what's sad is I've met a lot of rape advocates, you know, cause when a girl comes in or a guy, cause let's face it, guys can get raped too.
I could have been raped that night. I don't know.
That's right. When a rape victim walks in, you offer to get them an advocate, right? It's like a social worker who comes out and they're specially trained to deal with rape victims. And I have literally watched these advocates who are ostensibly champions for the rape victim kind of give a rape victim a guilt trip when the rape victim says to me, I don't know if I want to go through with this. I don't want to go to court. I don't want to have to testify. And they're explaining their feelings about the situation. And I've watched an advocate go, well, if he does this to another woman, then it'll be on you. And I went, whoa.
Yeah.
Who's victim blaming now, motherfuckers?
Yeah.
So there's this whole level of that's where we get onto the victim blaming thing is because no girl deserves or guy to be raped, right?
Correct.
Agreed. Nobody. In fact, even the girlfriend I had before I met my wife who asked me to pretend to do it doesn't deserve it.
Oh, no. That's a
hard pass. But
yeah, hard pass.
Boys and girls, I said no and we broke up. You do the same. Don't play those games.
No.
But I mean, okay. Marco, you have a daughter. She is obviously years from having to worry about this issue. But here's the problem. As soon as the doctor hands you a daughter, you start worrying about it. She doesn't, but you do as a father. Mm-hmm. So how do you teach your daughter or how do you intend to teach your daughter to victim proof herself without coming across as what society calls a victim blamer? Because what I told my daughter was, if it's not for sale, don't put it in the window. Don't get drunk at a frat party, lay that on a bed and let some guy screw you. If you don't put yourself there, it's not going to happen to you. Just the same way if you're not walking down, you know, the south end of town at 2 a.m. wearing, you know, brand new Jordans, a leather jacket and flashing $100 bills, you're not going to get mugged if you're not there.
Right. So my answer to that is jujitsu classes and hours at the gun range.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
That doesn't amount to shit when you're drunk and passed out. I think that you all, Marco, you also have a son. So, and it's the duty to raise our sons to be respectful and not fucking rape people, not even think that's even a fucking option, and to just stay away from, you know, passed out loosey-goosey drunk girls. You know, just that's a no-win situation for everybody.
You know what's crazy to me is if you actually go back to our standards.
Hold on, I'm gonna interrupt you because we totally cut Marco off and he asked him a question and I jumped in and then we didn't let him.
You're right.
I got you, Mark.
You know, it's okay. I was just been processing everything that's going on because there's so much, just so much going on with this story as far as like Thomas's friend and unpacking that. And I understand her mentality because, well, for multiple reasons. One is it starts off in a place of ownership for your part in the your involvement in the situation in the first place. You know, recognizing that if you don't want to get caught up in the situations, then don't put yourself in a position where you can be in those situations. I'm not saying don't go to a party.
And I want to back up real quick. I want people to understand we're talking about all crime victims. We used rape as an example, but it was the easiest example of victim blaming. In this scenario, we're not three guys talking about what rape victims should do or shouldn't do. We're talking about victims putting themselves in positions to be victimized.
So let me put it this way. Let me back one up. I don't know if you guys saw this video. This video's been out for a couple of years, and I've just found it like just pretty. Like hilariously wrong, not like ha ha ha, but like ho ho ho, ho, you know, kind of
like
laugh,
painfully
right?
Funny, right?
Yeah, we're just like, oh my god, like somebody actually, this is funny because it's so wrong that people actually, somebody actually say this and think this way. But there's an instance where a young man got shot, and I believe he lost his life, which is horrible. That part of it is horrible. But how he lost his life is the fact that he was breaking in to someone's house in the neighborhood, and that neighbor shot him. You know, like they were breaking into the house, the person that was doing like a break-in home invasion almost situation, the person was home, had a gun, shot him. And the family's response was, why did she have to do that?
Wait, the family of the guy who got shot?
Yeah, the family of the guy who got shot was, why did she have to do that? People out there have to understand, I'm paraphrasing here, but something very close to this. People out there have to understand that that is how he needs to get things that he needs to have. Basically, what she's saying.
No.
This is. I'm not making this shit up. You can look this shit up.
That's like the whole thing. The whole joke about, you know, if you shoot somebody who breaks into your home, then you value your things more than you value human life, and the comeback is. If you break into somebody's home, then you value their things more than you value
your
own life.
Right. Well, I tell people all the time, my front door is locked for your protection, not mine.
Correct. Well, I'll rebuttal with that. I'll rebuttal this way. I am more worried about my life and my family's life than yours. Fuck.
Yeah, because you kick my front door and I don't know that you're taking my TV. I think you're coming after me or my fiance, and I'll Mozambique your ass before you get halfway down the fucking hall. And those are the facts.
You've already shown hostile intent. You're breaking into a house. You're breaking into someone's house. You're in somewhere where you don't need to be, and you're going to be jacking shit. And God forbid that you run into my kid or my wife, you know what I'm saying, before you run into me. That's already shown, to me, that's already showing hostile intent. And yeah. I don't put personal possessions. I don't value personal possessions over life. I do value a life that I know personally over your life, the life of somebody. So, and you cannot, I don't care. It's basically start deleting the messages right now. Cause there's no side to this argument. Well, that person is someone's father, someone's brother, someone's son. Okay. If you care that much about your family, then have respect for my family. You know what I'm saying? Like if you care that much about, you know, the life of the people around you, then have the respect to have that respect to my family. And it comes down to that. I don't give a fuck about possessions. I give a fuck about protection of life. And you come into my house, you're going to meet Mr. 45 and his 11 little friends. that all hit a lot harder than you do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has nothing to do with possessions. It has to do with I value my family's life and my life more than I value the person who's breaking it, because at that point they've crossed the line on their end. So I'm going.
Yeah, and you don't get a warning shot. You don't get a hey, stop. Hey, who are you? You get two to the chest, one to the head.
You know what's funny is they might get a warning shot depending, and I'll tell you why. So, for those of you, I won't tell you where, but I have a 12 gauge pump action tactical shotgun mounted in, mounted to a wall somewhere in my house that you can't see. Okay. And hanging from that tactical shotgun, which happens to be at the perfect height for my white wife to reach up and just grab it, hanging from that tactical shotgun happens to be a pair of electronic ear protection earmuffs, the kind that have the little fuzzy, you know, windstopper microphone.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can hear, you have enhanced super hearing when you're on the range until a gun goes off, and then the noise gate feature completely kills all the input and noise cancels. I keep those on it. And I'll tell you why. Because I bought the shotgun for my wife to defend the house, and I bought the earmuffs so that she doesn't destroy her hearing firing a 12 gauge inside a residence. Now, I deliberately do not keep a round racked into the chamber of that shotgun.
No, that's half the fun, is the motherfucker to hear the ch-ch.
So my wife has practiced, and her instructions are: take the shotgun down. Do not do anything until you put the ear protection on. Turn the ear protection on. So now you have super hearing, right? So if this dude's, if you have a mouse farting in the house, you can hear this shit.
Oh, yeah. No, right? I have some Pelotons just like that.
Exactly. Or the Peltors. You've been riding this stationary bike too much. That's true.
I'm half a bottle in. Don't judge me.
Never, honey. So she puts those on. Now she has super hearing. Then I want her to rack a fresh round into the breech, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, if the person in the house hears the rack of that shotgun and they decide to remain, they deserve whatever is coming to them. And in my case, it'll be the first round of double-aught buck, the second round of rifled slug, and the third round consisting also of double-aught buck.
Yep. It's a good combo. I approve that.
I've also heard two double-aught bucks and then a rifled slug. So you pump two rounds. If they don't get up, you stop. If they do get up, the rifled slug will finish it. It's the 12-gauge Mozambique, basically.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you think the kid who didn't know the Metallica song is Googling Mozambique from the first time that I said it a few minutes ago?
Yeah, right. He might be. If do you want to explain a Mozambique real quick?
No, Google it. It's more fun with pictures. Okay.
So that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
You know what I want for home defense?
What?
What I want for home defense is fucking, if my wife will let me do this, get this, is straight out like a fucking a shotgun with a fucking dragon's breath. Fucking
right. Oh, God. Is that legal in Texas?
Well, yeah, you're in Texas. Everything's legal. Get it. You're in dragon's free America, breath. Son. Act like it. Yeah.
I saw a guy who had developed a round. It was piano wire that had been woven through the buckshot. So it created a spider web of piano wire with buckshot that connected the points on the spider web.
Okay,
and it
could
basically
brutal.
Create stew meat out of your gut.
Oh. Remember we were looking at all those fun rounds. There was the bolo round too.
The flechette rounds, which are the little darts.
The little darts, yeah. Anyway. Or the one with the two, like, it was two like double odd buck bearings or something with just the one wire between it. So it just comes out and spins. And
how
just,
did this turn into gun porn? Anyway.
Hold on a second. I think I may have found the clip while we were, this is a great thing about going off on tangents and gun porn. It allows me time to do a little bit of research over here. Let's see if I got this right.
She have her gun license, her rights, or any of that. That is way beyond the law, way beyond.
Relatives of 17-year-old Trayvon Johnson are angry. The teenager was shot and killed last night by a homeowner who police say was protecting her property.
Could you back it up and play the name one more time?
No, I remember this.
Trayvon had goals. He was a very funny guy. He was very big on education. He loved going to school. He loved learning.
Last night, Miami-Dade police say the D.A. Dorsey Technical College student burglarized a home south of 79th Street near I-95, just blocks away from where he lives. Detectives say the 54-year-old homeowner was alerted of the break-in by her security system. With officers already on their way, she rushed home to check things out, and police say she was armed.
She observed a subject exiting the home through the rear.
According to detectives, there was a confrontation and one shot was fired. Johnson was pronounced dead at the hospital.
Hey, what's wrong with her? She did not have to shoot him.
There's no reason that she should have waited until after he walked out the yard to try to shoot him.
If she called the police already, then why would she shoot him?
Relatives say they don't believe Johnson stole anything from the home, but detectives would not confirm that. You have to understand. You have
so that
to
that actually okay.
From every point of view that was raised in the hood, how he gonna get his money to have clothes to go to school?
Well, the investigation continues.
How is he gonna get his money?
To get clothes.
Okay, and as a police officer, I was kind of on their side until the end.
Yeah, because it wasn't like she was in the home. So right. there's a little gray area there.
I was mistaken about that.
How do you expect him to get money to get clothes to go to school? I got three letters for you, J-O-B.
Yeah.
That's how.
So you go to school. Get a job. The word of the day is job.
Job.
J-O-B. You gonna be a dog catcher? Instead of a dog catching your ass.
I fucking love that movie.
Okay, seriously, I had never watched I had never watched Boys in the Hood or anything like that because
Boys in the Hood is fucking epic.
But I had never seen That's Friday was my first exposure to like hood movies. And I was like, if they're all like this, I'm in. And then I saw Boys in the Hood. I'm like,
Boys in the Hood's a little more true life, real dark.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's go back. So do we victim blame this kid, right? This kid gets his ass shot, burglarizing this woman's house. I mean, okay. I don't. First of all, it helps. You said what state was that?
Florida, of course.
Florida. No, always in fucking Florida.
It's always fucking Florida.
So I wouldn't shoot somebody in my yard running away. But what I find interesting is they said they met in the yard and there was a confrontation.
Right.
So if you're a 54-year-old woman and this young guy who is ostensible, I mean, I'm guessing if he's breaking into houses, he's in decent shape. And he confronts you as you're coming up the back door and he's coming out and you know, get the fuck out of my way. I'm going to fuck you up. No, wait till the cops get here. Lady, I'm going to kill you. Blam.
Like, justified. Yeah.
Let's say he didn't, you know, just for the sake of argument, he didn't even say that, right? Let's say he didn't say, I'm going to get the fuck out of my way. I'm going to kill you.
Right.
But if you're a 50-year-old, I'm being fair. If you're a 50-year-old woman, someone's burglarizing your home and, you know, you get alerted to that. You get there before the cops do, you know, your gun's drawn. You're trying to basically not rushing in because you're not rushing in at 54 years old. I mean, I don't know her shape, but whatever. You're going inside and you see something, you catch somebody coming out of your house. I understand the adrenaline is pumping and decisions are made on the spot. But let's say that they're like, you know, what are you doing in my house? Blah, blah, blah. And he starts going back and, you know, starts yelling back and forth. You know, I'm going to get out of here. Let's say he doesn't say I'm going to kill you, right? But take this into account. If you're a gunpoint and he makes a move towards her to get around her, you know what I'm saying? That's a split second decision.
He wasn't shot in the back.
Right. She could just as easily think he's coming at me, not around me.
I'm just
in the backyard and he says, lady, I didn't take anything. This was a bad idea. I just want to go. And she goes, fuck you, and shoots him, and there's witnesses to that effect, then prosecute her ass.
Absolutely. Hell yeah.
Because that's a different fucking scenario.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's a whole different scenario. But that's not what we're talking about, right?
No, the family ratted him out. The family already established that he has a propensity towards breaking into homes to get money to get clothes to go to school. That's how he gets his clothes.
How else is he going to get his money to go to school?
How else is he going to get it?
So, you know? So here's the thing. We are now victim blamers for saying that this Trayvon kid, Trayvon Johnson, Trayvon Jones, Trayvon something? I don't remember.
I think it was Johnson.
This kid.
I believe it was Trayvon Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe.
So this kid dies because,
it's a young life. It's a young life. It sucks. I'm not talking about like the way it happened.
There's 7 billion people on the planet. It's a fucking piss trickle. I mean,
I'm just going to say that was a well-placed shot. She shot him once.
That's true. Well, I mean, it's always it's never the expert marksman. It's always the freaking stray bullet.
Just fucking.
But But okay, so here's the thing. I'm kind.
Hold on a second. What if this chick was totally Dirty Harry? What if she just had this gigantic fucking smoke wagon? You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god, she was like Sledgehammer.
John Wick's mom. John Wick's mom.
Yeah,
dude. She sleeps with this nickel-plated 44 Magnum with ivory grips.
She's got a fucking like a 50 cal Desert Eagle. She just fucking whips out this fucking gigantic thing.
Was her last name Tackleberry?
Oh,
there you go. Hey, Metallica guy, Google that.
Yeah, Google Tackleberry. So here's the thing, right? So this guy, he breaks into this yard. He does all this stuff. He gets his ass shot. And I get what you're saying, Marco, but I'm of two minds about this. And I've always been this way. This is not a byproduct of being a cop. I always say that being a cop was the easiest transition in the world because I hated most people anyway.
Right? This is so true.
And you guys knew me in high school. I didn't really give much of a fuck about anybody except for the people I cared about.
Right.
And it kind of still is the way it is. To quote John Cusack in Gross Point Blank, I display a certain moral flexibility.
Yes. Another great movie. Oh, Metallica guy. Get on that one too.
Yes. So anyway, so
at this point in time, Metallica guy, you should really just have a notepad and pen because we're just going to be firing them off for the rest of the episode. Yep. Yeah.
We're just going to say GTS. Google that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
And Metallica guy, this is out of love. I'm not fucking making fun of you. So.
And it's out of love and a half a bottle of Jameson.
Yeah.
So
we're gonna sidebar after this episode. I got to tell you about my fucking night last night. It's
okay. So you got this dude, you know, he breaks in his house, he gets his ass shot, and he's the victim. Now he didn't have to do that. And you're saying a human life was lost. That's horrible. I get that to God and to the family and to our humanity, every life is precious, right? That's one of the reasons I feel the way I feel about all life, black, white, blue, unborn, born, elderly, the handicapped. That I was the Terry Schiavo when they wanted to cut the girl's feeding tube off and starve her to death because she was a vegetable and they had to go to court to kill their to anyway. I was against that too. That's just the way I land. But at the same time, when I look at the tsunami in Sri Lanka, like what, a decade ago. And I think about 100,000 lives lost, right? The first thing that flashes into my mind, and this is because I'm an asshole. The first thing that flashes into my mind.
Someone grab a board?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that video footage of like 20 or 30 white people a mile out from the beach in 2 inches of water, wondering why it's not 30 feet deep and going, where'd the water go? And then surprised when the ocean came back.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the hotel developers that go to these small islands in the Pacific Ocean in around the Ring of Fire. And they say, hey, you natives, you didn't build on the beach. And they go, no, we built 3 miles in. And they go, well, your beach is beautiful and pristine. Why didn't you build on the beach? Like, no reason. And the hotel developer goes, well, would you mind if we paid you so that we could build a hotel on the beach? And they went, sure.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. And then at that point, the village elder just starts clock watching. Because he wants to see the show when the ocean decides to eat their hotel. Because according to them, the ocean eats people once every 100 years. I don't know. They know this stuff. That's why they don't live on the beach. Yeah. So I look at our own stupidity and go, okay, if I were to meet this kid's parents or his sister and they were to cry, I, as a human being, I would hug them and say, I'm sorry for your loss.
Right.
Much the same way I think the whole transgender movement is insane. But if I had somebody who I loved and cared about who wanted to live their life as the other gender, I wouldn't constantly talk shit to them and make fun of them. Right. I can think a subject is ridiculous, or I can think that people's behavior is asinine, or I can think that you're wrong. I can disagree with you. And yet if I know you as a human being, I can still care about you as a human being, right?
Right, right.
In this case, I don't know this dude as a human being. I'm talking about it with my other hat, my dispassionate. I'm looking at this as a judge, as blind justice. And you fucking broke into her house. You made that decision. You decided to confront her on the way out. She's going to have to live with shooting another human being and taking their life because she confronted somebody with a gun coming out of her house. Okay. Nobody wins. Lesson learned. Don't break into houses and don't confront people with a gun unless you have to. Right? Now let's all move on and stop fucking crying about it. But I'm a victim blamer because I look at this guy's actions and I say, hey, fuckface, if you weren't burglarizing this lady's home, you'd still be alive.
I mean, but even that is like, it's hard to say who is the victim. You know, so do we say the victim because he got it the worst because he's dead?
Well, because I think he was the criminal suspect for breaking the law, and he was a victim of a gunshot wound.
Mm-hmm. Because of his criminal activity, motherfucker. I would like to clarify, Your Honor. He was the recipient of gunshot wound.
Yes, the recipient.
And that's a big part of what I say is you can reap the consequences of your own fucking actions. And although those consequences are swift, painful, and deadly, you are not a fucking victim. You are merely taking the fucking ride on the train you bought a ticket for.
Choo-choo, motherfucker.
Choo-choo, motherfucker. That's the comeback. The follow-up to that was choo-choo, motherfucker.
Oh, I fell out my damn chair.
That comment was brought to you in part by Jameson. Jameson.
for all your hard day needs.
Yes.
Fine Irish whiskey for a not so fine day.
Fine Irish whiskey for a fine Irishman.
There's better whiskey than Jameson, truth be told.
No, but that's what you had on hand.
Yeah, that's what I grabbed first.
So here's the thing. So I guess my thing, and this is where my philosophy lies. A victim, right? One who does not take part in their own tragedy, right?
Okay.
That, to me, is a victim. If you are walking down the street and some asshole pushes you into a train, you are the victim of a homicide. If you are walking down the street and you trip over your own feet and you fall in front of a train, you are the victim of an accident. If you're fucking around and jumping on and off the fucking train tracks, going, look, Ma, no hands, and the fucking train comes along, not only are you a dumbass, you are not a victim. You are the recipient of a visit from a high-speed train.
Yes.
I think in this case, it's more like if you just stole a woman's purse, and you're running down the platform and you trip and slide into the path of the train, you deserve it.
That's called karma. Yeah.
That's called
karma.
How about this?
Let me throw another little scenario at you.
Well, hold on. Marco, you were supposed to give us the definition of victim blaming.
Yeah. Marco?
God damn.
Hello. The fuck? This just get put on me. I mean, you said,
and I quote, I have it on deck.
Do not oppress his people.
I did. Yeah. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. All right. Victim blaming occurs when the victim of a crime or any wrongful act is held entirely or partially at fault for the harm that befell them.
My people were already oppressed.
Is that where we're going with this right now?
I don't know what that means.
Is that where we're going?
He said don't repress his people.
Okay. So
oppress.
I take umbrage with the partially responsible. Because what if you fucking are partially responsible?
Well, partially responsible, I mean, you could, okay. Ooh, this could be hot water. But
I'll give you one. I'll give you one.
Hold on. I got it. Well, we already mentioned it. Like your friend's story. Like she is and I said she's taking ownership. You know, she's taking ownership for her part in putting herself in harm's way, in putting herself in that situation. You know, being at this party, drinking too much. There's a sequence of events. It should still never happen to her. We still, like I said, the jury's out. We don't know one way or another, but. I think that's where based on what we already talked about, where partially comes into play, you know, partially responsible for it, but comes into play, I guess, or somebody could argue that. I'm never saying that somebody who got, you know, raped is partially responsible for anything.
If you walk down the street and get yanked into a bush and raped, you're not responsible. We know that.
Absolutely not.
If you're drugged, if you're roofied and you're part, you know, knocked out unconscious and somebody who is completely sober takes advantage of you, you're not raped. We know that.
Absolutely
not. But here's the difference. What about two people that are both willingly taking roofies? What about two people that decide to go to a party and both have a good time and they do poppers, they do freaking whatever it is they're going to do. They do Molly. They do, you know,
and or even just get shit-faced drunk.
Or just get shit-faced drunk, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as a result of Jack Daniel's judgment or impairment, they make a bad decision and it there is no way on God's green earth that one person should be held criminally liable for a two-person mistake.
Right. If there's no clear, like in your friend's situation, there's no clear recollection of this guy crawled on top of me. I said, no. I was fully aware. I was fully coherent. And he absolutely did that. Then, yeah, I mean.
So it's a whole bunch of gray area, you know, and unfortunately. I think we don't know. It's like, it's hard for us to really speculate in this because we're talking about lawyers and you're talking about defense lawyers looking at, looking at probabilities, you know, you're presenting probability. It's the burden of proof is on and it comes down to the burden of proof. It's like, can you 100%, can you prove it 100% that this happened this way? And it's just so like Thomas, you think you said it in the best in the beginning, you said it's just so fucked, you know?
Yeah.
I understand. I can understand why somebody would not want to go through that again, relive it. They want to put it behind them and pass them. You know, unless they knew
for 100% fact that, you know, I was absolutely 100% raped.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I guess that's just a tough one. People need to nuance, critical thinking and nuance are lost, right?
Critical thinking was lost.
The whole point of critical thinking was to step back and be critical of the subject matter you're thinking about, right? And we just, that's why, you know, I can sit back and dispassionately say, well, if you weren't breaking into the house, you wouldn't have had the confrontation when you were running through the yard and you'd still be fucking alive. Right. Is it sad for your family that you're dead? Yes, it's sad for them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Is the world going to stop turning on its axis? No, it fucking isn't. Is this woman going to have to deal with the fact that she shot somebody? Who knows? Maybe she's a sociopath and she'll be just fine with it, like me. Or maybe she's like a super ultra caring person and it'll destroy her life and she'll become an alcoholic and die an early death of liver disease.
Folks at home, he's not a sociopath. He's just an asshole. Shut up.
I'm not the one with antisocial personality tendencies. See, that's the thing. Sociopathy, the antisocial. No, motherfucker, I'm just an asshole. I have the ability to care deeply.
You're just not on my level. That's all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we could go on and on and on and on and on.
We could.
But the whole point, so I'll give this disclaimer again. The whole point of using the rape analogy was because it's such an easy analogy to use, because I think in terms of slut shaming and victim blaming and all this other stuff, we are so quick to say you can't ever question the circumstances around a woman's decision making when it involves her being violated. And right. I would say, A, define violated, and B, define volunteer, like her own actions. So
yeah.
If two, and it's the same thing with a guy, if I, God forbid, ended up in a situation where I was shit-faced and beating someone, shit-faced and having sex, I did. What's going to happen is if I was being kept on the hook for that girl that I slept with at the bachelor party, and people were like, oh, dude, well, I didn't know what I was doing. Sorry. You know what I mean? So everybody has to take, but if I got a sexually transmitted disease, I still got to have the disease. That was my fault.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Now you brought up slut shaming, and I want to pose a question to the women that are listening to this, listening, watching.
All two of them.
There's probably more, right?
No, there's more. There's more. I know. I just joked that we're.
Okay. So check this out. And we
love them for listening, because most of them are hot.
We love you for listening. And I have been drinking some Jameson. When you consider your body count, do you consider total body count or just guys that actually genuinely made you orgasm? Like, what's your...
And on that note, follow us on Facebook, Instagram. You guys can also get the merchandise through the War Stories website, but the hats aren't on there yet. So if you want a hat, we're doing first come, first serve until we figure out the pre-orders and all that kind of stuff. So if you want a hat, DM us through either Locker Room or DM us through on Facebook or Locker Room on Instagram. And if you don't want a hat, then just ignore all of that stuff. Ignore all that message.
I want a hat. Yeah, I'll even pay for it.
I know you will. But that's not important. What's important is we have to give our listeners the hats first.
This is true.
So you guys can follow us on all the social media. Get the hats. I'm telling you right now, every single Locker Room podcast I've done, I've been wearing the Rager panties. I'm wearing them right now. You can't see me from the waist down, so why not?
Right. Yeah. Hey, I wore them this morning when I went for my little beach jog after my swim.
And so remember our contest. Start posting pictures on social media wearing the War Stories gear, whether it's the Ranger panties or the PT shorts or your patch. We have a firefighter he's a firefighter on a helicopter, and he posted a picture. He sent me a picture. He's out the door, like hanging out the door over the California wildfires with smoke in the background and his mandible and his helmet. And right on the side of his helmet, he's got our new PVC patch, morale patch, just
fuck yeah,
right onto his helmet. So,
Man. Hey, you know what? I met a shit ton of firefighters this morning that were down at the Point Doom parking lot, and they rolled up in one of those hotshot trucks, you know? Uh-huh,
right.
I was chit chatting with them and was like, I appreciate you guys. But if any of you are listening, that was me down there, and thank you. There were two fools that swam out to the buoy and back, and we got to chat, and that was pretty fun.
Well, nice.
Anywho.
So Marco had to take off a little early tonight, unexpectedly, and so we're going to say goodnight for him. Matt, do you have anything?
No, but hang out for a minute, because I want to chit-chat with you.
Oh, no, of course. But what I do want to mention is, as a final thought, like I said, for people out there, my analogy I use for my daughters, if it's not for sale, don't put it in the window. But also, I mean, if you don't want to get caught doing stupid shit, don't do stupid shit.
Yeah.
It's really that simple.
And men, like, we need to do, clearly, it's not all on the fathers. But clearly we need to start doing better, because there's no excuse for a man or a boy to think that it's appropriate to force himself on somebody, whether they're drunk or not, in those situations.
Go
like
pay a
your
hooker.
Friend's situation. Yeah. Don't
go
yeah,
pay
don't,
a hooker.
Got to be better. You got to
spend
be better,
the 10
guys.
Bucks for a toothless yeah. bad job.
No, no means no. Be a fucking man. Be better.
All right. So until our next episode, we will see you in the locker room.
Fuck yeah. Migos. And a me.